Welcome to Talk Write Done, the show where we talk about everything you need to know about writing for your coaching or educational business. Whether your work in progress is a blog post, an article, or a book, here you'll find the inspiration, motivation, and expertise you need to help you succeed. I'm your host, writing coach, editor, and applied linguist, Dr. Lissy Tangi, and I'm dedicated to helping business owners like you harness the power of the written word to reach more people and transform more lives. Join me as I chat to writing and publishing experts, as well as business owners at various stages of the writing process. I'm just as interested in getting started and the messy middle as I am in the finished product. So wherever you are in your writing journey, you'll find what you need here. So pull up a chair, pour yourself a cuppa, and let's get started.
Hi, and welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show if this is your first time tuning in. I can't wait to introduce you to today's guest. Bambi French is the founder of She Is a VIP, an organisation which provides personal development and empowerment coaching for women with disabilities. Diagnosed with a degenerative eye condition in her mid-teens, Bambi knows what it means to navigate life with sight loss while working to remain ambitious and confident about her ability to make a positive impact in the lives of others. Bambi has worked professionally in special education for the last 12 years, having supported a number of children, young people, and families in dealing with the issues arising from disability. 2021 saw the growth of She Is a VIP into a movement that seeks to inspire and empower disabled women and girls to build the skills and confidence that will help them to live lives that are not defined by their limitations. Bambi is also the host of the Don't Miss Your Ability podcast. In our conversation, we talked about why you need to make your business and content accessible and practical ways to do this, as well as how to find the possibilities that lie beyond your difficulties. I learned so much from Bambi, and I cannot wait for you to hear our conversation. I'm really excited to have Bambi French on the show today. Thank you so much for joining me, Bambi. We've tried to arrange this for a while, haven't we?
We have, and we're like on the same continent. It's not like America.
It shouldn't be that hard. I think it's like kids finishing school, end of term chaos, and all of exactly. that. But anyway, nice to finally have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So tell me a bit about who you are and the work that you do, and kind of the story of how you got here as well. I think people will be really interested to hear.
Right. I don't know how long you've got, but I will try and give you like the potted history that is me. So yeah, my name's Bambi French. I currently live in the northeast of England, in Durham, with my husband and my daughter, who is almost 18. And I've lived in Durham for 18 years, but was born and bred in London. So yeah, moved here and got a bit of a culture shock because it's very cold most of the time, apart from this week, actually, which has been extremely warm in Durham, heat wave.
Yes, as we're recording this, we're just finished the UK heat wave, haven't we?
It's been interesting, to say the least. I am a first daughter of five girls in my family. I have four younger sisters. Well, one of the interesting things about me, and one of the things that has led me to do what I do today, is that when I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with a degenerative sight condition called Stargardt's disease. When I kind of think back, I knew that it was happening, when I was reading in school and things like that, I knew that I was finding things more and more difficult. I loved reading. I was an avid reader as a child. So I knew that things were becoming more difficult, reading aloud in class, things like that. When I was reading the words, couldn't really, kind of figure out what was going on. There would be blank spaces everywhere. So to cut a very long story short, I was diagnosed by the time I was 15 with Stargardt's. And as the doctors had told me, it's a degenerative condition, so my eyesight continued to deteriorate, and I was told that I would possibly be blind by the time I was like 30. Thankfully, that hasn't been the case. I still have functional sight, even though I struggle with long distance, struggle with small print, and really all of the things that come with having a disability, I still kind of have issue with. But I went to university, got my degree, got married, had my daughter, and started work as in education because I wanted to work with kids. So all of my career has been in education, with children, and really most of it, my career, if not all, has been with working with children with special educational needs. So my business has been born out of really my personal experience. So in my business, I coach women who are living with disabilities that are both hidden and visible as well. When I started, my focus was on women with visual impairments and blindness because that was my experience. But now it's expanded into working with women who have a varying range of disabilities, things like autism, ADHD. Lots of women are diagnosed at a very late age with those things. And it's really about empowering them and encouraging them to believe that actually they can do the things that they want to do. It might be difficult, it might be challenging, but actually that they have the ability to do and achieve the things that they want for themselves, but also to have an impact in the lives of others as well.
Well, thank you. I think that's so inspiring. And I think, there are two sides of that I'd like to dive into, really, that I think would be really useful for listeners. And the two parts really is perhaps listeners who are thinking, oh, that's me. I've got some kind of disability. I want to do what Bambi's doing. Tell me more about that side. And then the other side is for entrepreneurs who need to consider accessibility in general for their own business. So yeah. I don't know which side of that you want to. I want to dive into them both now.
You choose. You tell me.
Okay. Well, let's start with the, as this is a writing podcast and thinking about making content. Well, first of all, from a general perspective, why do entrepreneurs need to consider accessibility?
Well, everybody that you come across or that you meet will have some kind of need. There'll be people who need to access the material, the content that you produce in a number of different ways. And if you don't come at creating your content from an accessibility point of view, then you are missing out on, even if you're saying, well, I'm not, my target audience isn't blind people or visually impaired people or people with autism or hearing impairments. You're missing out on a lot of people being able to access what it is you're doing and maybe even, engaging with you, connecting with you and buying from you eventually and working with you. And the disabled community are just as important. We know that and we say it, but then there's so much that goes on that is very exclusive and doesn't bear in mind kind of what someone with an additional need would need to access effectively.
So what, from a kind of practical perspective, are there any things that people could do to make their content more accessible?
Yeah, so things like, we've got a lot of imagery at the moment. There's a lot of images, if you think about Instagram and Facebook. So it could seem like an onerous task, but something like an image description.
Yes.
So what you've posted or, if it's a video or even just a still image, just saying, just at the end of your post, just typing hashtag image description and then describing as best you can what it is you've posted, the colors, if there are people in there, what do the people look like, will help people with a visual impairment especially engage with what you're doing. The other way in which you could do that in Instagram especially is by using alt text, alternative text. You can use that on your website, you can use that in Instagram. It's just in like advanced settings. You go in and you put in the image description in there. So someone who's using, say, a screen reader will be able to identify, oh, there's alternative text here, and I can access this. I can access this post.
So would you do the? That's really interesting to hear that, actually, because I do tend to do, well, actually, I don't always do the alt text. I do on my website, but not with the Instagram posts. So I'll be going back now to add all of those. Would you add the hashtag as well as that, or is it either or? Do you think it's good practice to do both of those?
Yeah, to do both, just because people follow the hashtag.
Yeah.
And also when you're doing the hashtag, so you do the hashtag, and if you write image description and you capitalize the first word of each, you know, so you capitalize the I for image and you capitalize the D for description, because the screen readers read that better than if they're all lowercase. So really all of your hashtags should be capitalized. If you capitalize the word at the start, and the software doesn't really like that much, but you just have to kind of force it to capitalize everything so that you can, so that screen readers can access them. Yeah.
Oh, and that's really helpful. Great. Yeah. That's a really nice kind of practical tip that people can go and start using today, isn't it? I think that's great.
Yeah, absolutely. And then things like closed captions on your videos, which are subtitles on your videos, can be used as well. You can also use closed captions in Zoom, on Zoom calls as well, so that in the advanced settings there, you can do that too. So if, for instance, I know you and I are involved in different communities where there's lots of people meeting, but if you're holding a meeting, then any of the speaker can have like a subtitles, closed captions, so that people can engage that way. And it's not just for people with a hearing impairment. People think the old idea was that subtitles are for people who can't hear, but actually we're consuming content all over the place now. So if you're on the train or the bus, some people don't have the sound on, they still want to engage with the content, so closed captions would help in that sense as well.
Oh, that's really useful. Yeah, and actually, coming from the perspective of a teacher, when I'm teaching I have my closed captions on. I've just realized now that I do not have them on. So and I've got that on my settings on my Word.
Yeah. Zoom. I mean, they wouldn't help me. I rely on my
You rely on your reader. Hearing. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And I suppose if I'd needed them, I would have said to you, "Oh, could you please put closed captions on?"
Yeah.
But I think if just as a matter of, I mean, as a matter of course, maybe that's something that can be done, and then you're not. If you don't, I just take what I need and leave the rest, and people do the same.
And just useful to have those on. That's what occurred to me. I've got that automatically on my work computer, but why don't I have it on this when I'm doing this for my business? So that's something that I need to.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh gosh, so much value already. Thank you, Bambi. So, thinking about that actually in the context of teaching, a lot of my listeners are coaches and educators, so they're perhaps running workshops. How can they make their workshops and, you know, individual coaching sessions, how can they make them more accessible? In terms of, I suppose, while they're actually running them, but also in terms of, I don't know, making people feel comfortable that they are going to be accessible when they sign up for something. And I suppose that's partly about the marketing, isn't it? But yeah, any thoughts you've got on that?
Yeah, I think it's about the marketing. But what I've always said, because I worked as a special needs coordinator for a long time in school, so I've been training staff and how to make their lessons accessible to children, how they can include them, but not just that, include, you know, the wider school. And the one thing I always said was, you need to know who you have in front of you, or who you are potentially going to have in front of you. And in school, yes, you get, you know, lots of documentation about children, and you find these things out because they can't necessarily tell you everything that, you know, you need to know about them. But if we're working with adults and we're running our groups or individual coaching sessions, just ask the question. Just have it as a question on your Google form or whatever it is you use to gather the information about who's coming in.
Yeah.
Just have it as a question, if it needs answering, then it can be answered. If not, then they're not, but it's there.
Wonderful.
So a simple question of, is there, not even, not so blatant. I mean, I do ask the question, do you have a disability, or what's the nature of your disability? Because that's my work. But just asking a question like, how can, is there any way that I can make this easier for you? Or you know, is there anything that you would need in order to access what I'm offering well?
Yeah. And I suppose it's about, again, systematizing it, isn't it? So it's there, it's in your processes. It's not something you have to think about every time. It's just there. It's a matter of course.
Yeah. I mean, most, a lot of people with disabilities do have ways to access things. So I use a screen reader a lot. You know, if I'm looking at a website and things like that, or, you know, if I need to look at a document, I'll use a screen reader. And lots of people do have, you know, ways of coping, but it's always nice to come to someone who's thought about these things. And please don't beat yourself up about if you forget or you don't remember. It's a steep learning curve for everyone, I think. But if you can try and show that you have made some effort to include, you know, whoever's coming into your program, because prior to them coming in, you've taken just a short amount of time to find out what their needs might be or what their additional needs might be. It goes a long way, I think.
Yeah. And would you be put off working with someone who you don't see up front that they take that seriously or not? You'd work with them and then, you know, you'd sign up to work with them and then address the issue, do you think?
I think it's not always easy to see whether someone's taking something seriously or not. I think you would hope that once people found out that they would then make the adjustments and they would see that as like, okay, yeah, that's what I need to do. I think it'd be very rare that you would come up against someone, I would hope in the 21st century that it would be rare that you would come up against someone who would be like really dismissive about it. I mean, I know that I've brought things up with my coach and she's made adjustments for me as I've gone along. Sometimes you don't even know what you're not going to be able to do until you get in to that. So I think on both sides, if there's a base level of understanding that actually a reasonable adjustment can be made, it's incumbent upon both parties to keep talking and to keep learning together.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. And I know we've talked about before, something we've talked about before is audiobooks. So, yeah, what do you have to say about audiobooks? And anyone that's, you know, planning to write a book, should they think about putting it into audio form or just audio form? You know, what do you say about that?
Absolutely, 100% put it in audio form. Yeah. Now, I am an audiobook fanatic now. But as I said earlier, you know, I used to read, I read everything when I was a kid. I loved reading, loved words, loved stories, would read and read and read. And then being diagnosed with my sight loss, reading just became really hard, nigh on impossible for me. And at the time, there wasn't the level of technology that there is now. I don't think my parents had to good enough understanding of how to get me what I needed, so I just kind of muddled through with magnified books that weren't great because it was photocopied and it wasn't great quality, and so I couldn't really see. So I kind of went off reading, found it really difficult all the way through university. And I used to think that if I used audiobooks, that wasn't reading. It wasn't the same. It definitely wasn't the same, because I loved sitting with a book and just, you know, on an armchair or whatever. I loved sitting with the pages of a book, so it didn't feel like reading to me. And I've been through like Kindles and having this, you know, the books on screen, you know, the digital ones, still not the same. So I've come to love audiobooks. And I truly believe that listening to an audiobook or reading a physical book is reading. It's all reading.
Yeah.
You're consuming, you know, the language, you're hearing the stories, you're understanding the characters. And I think there's in some places, there's a certain kind of, oh, you know, I don't know what's the word, snobbery about reading is
yeah, and this is what we were talking about before, wasn't it? Because I was talking about the difference in my my two eldest kids. Now the first one is like an avid book reader and always has been ever since he's learned to read, whereas my second son loves at the moment, he's just so obsessed with Harry Potter, but it's all on audio, so he's just listening to the audio. And same, he, you know, he's listening to the language, he's hearing it, he's listening to the story, but he just loves to consume it in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, I do see the benefit of being able to see words and understand them, and I know that that helps with spelling and all of that kind of thing. But even that whole debate around, oh well, you won't learn to spell or those kinds of things, I almost think, and I don't know who's listening to this and they might get really annoyed, but I almost think that's a bit of a redundant argument now in the 21st century. I've seen so many children come through school in the last sort of 5-10 years really, really struggle because we're saying, well, they can't spell and they can't do this and they can't do that, all based around literacy. And I'm thinking, but they've got computers. What is it we're trying to do? Are we trying to help them understand language and you know, use it? Or are we giving them spelling tests every week for what? When they've got spell checks and and all of the tech that's available. I'm just like, is it?
Yeah, no, it's about really them being able to access the information in the way that they can, I suppose, isn't it? And we've got all these different ways for people to access.
Exactly. I mean, one of the significant problems we've got here in the UK is that the exam system is just like, it's like we might as well be in the Victorian times.
Oh, I know.
And I think if they're struggling to read, if people, children, adults, you know, dyslexia is something that is now understood a lot more. We still need a lot more work to be done to get people to really understand it. There's lots of children struggling. But children and adults who don't enjoy reading because of a visual impairment or dyslexia or whatever it might be, attentional difficulties, are then, if we're not letting them say, right, okay, audiobooks, that's the way to go, they're not then being able to use their creativity. They're not being able to immerse themselves in a story, imagine what the scene is like, imagine what is going on, imagine what could be. And that helps them develop their creativity as well. If they're having to read a book and struggle with every other word,
it's
just exhausting and they're not going to get anything out of it anyway. So,
yeah. Oh, so important. Yeah. Okay. So coming back round to the kind of the other side of things, and with your coach's hat on, your mentor's hat, what would you say to any listeners who've got a disability and they're thinking they want to set up a business, but they're not sure about it?
I would first say, don't think about it as a business. That word business is really quite, well, I don't know. For me, it was really quite daunting, intimidating, I don't know what the word is, because you get this idea of what business is and what you should be as a business person. So when I started, I knew that I needed to kind of step away from education as I was in it, but I knew that I still wanted to help people. So that's where I started. It was like, I just want to help people. And I think if you come at it as like, I'm starting a business, I don't, maybe it's just me, but I then started thinking, well, I don't know anything about finances. I don't know anything about, I'm not a business person. I've been in education, you know, the government has paid my wages for the last 15 years.
Yeah,
I haven't had to worry about it. I haven't had to sell anything because the children would come to me every year. And like clockwork, more children would arrive. My clients would arrive. Whether I wanted them or not, they turned up every September. So that was my business. So if you know, I didn't have to do anything. Whereas now I have to, you know, create the content and keep telling people about what I'm doing and have the courage and the confidence to do that all of the time. So I guess not thinking about it so much as business to start with would be one thing. But then the other side is do it.
Mm.
Because all of our business, most businesses, all businesses started with one or two people reflecting on what they've been through, and what they've experienced in whatever sphere it is, because you think, oh, well, it's just the coaches who've been through like a really rough time that have come through it and now want to help other people. But actually everybody, Steve Jobs started Apple because, you know, Apple is what it is because he just doesn't want to create something really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So it's about what you want to do, reframing it from that. What do you want to do? How are you going to help people? What problem are you solving in the
exactly.
world? Yeah, it's starting with the why, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Start with the why. Yeah. And I suppose disability adds another kind of dimension to it because, you know, there are things that are slightly more difficult. I suppose there are slightly more, you know, yeah, you have to think a little bit more about what it is you're doing and how you access the support. But I always tell the women in my groups that, you know, it's really important that they hold on to that why and that they do tell their story, because it means that there's someone else like 10 steps behind them who needs to hear that in whatever form that may be. So I'm not saying that all people with disabilities should start a coaching business. You know, some people start tech businesses and yeah. produce something that is particular. You know, they have a need and they produce something that will help someone else with their particular need. There's clothing brands that are being set up by women with disabilities. There's all sorts of things going on. I like to think of business as like one big project. I really liked coursework at school. I was good at projects.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I do have to remember that I need to make some money, but I was really good at that coursework. I don't know, whoever's listening who was in the coursework era, that was great. I loved it. Just give me a project. I'll go work on it for hours.
Being creative, producing something. Yeah,
exactly.
Creating, generating. Yeah.
But business is like the biggest personal development journey ever.
Oh, yeah. 100% agree. 100%.
Like what I'm learning about myself is incredible. So I would absolutely say.
And I had no idea when I started my business that was going to be the case. I really, really didn't know that.
Yeah.
But it's that side of things that has just been incredible for in terms of learning and learn the most. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. So something that I ask all my guests, is there a book that you are currently reading or that you would recommend for listeners?
Well, currently listening to.
Yeah. But I actually did think, should I say listen? I did actually think that. Should I say listening to or reading? And we said it's the same thing.
Yeah, they're interchangeable in my mind. So reading, listening to. Yeah. I went through it last week and I'm going through it again. It's Marie Forleo's Everything is Figureoutable.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm on at the moment. And for two reasons it struck a chord with me, because when I got my diagnosis, I thought that was going to be it for me. All the things that I thought I would do, drive a car, you know, have this a huge big career, I don't know, family, whatever, all the things that all the things you dream of when you're 15, I don't know, fill in the blank. I thought that was it. There's no way those things would happen. The doctors told me I'll be blind. You know, I might as well just finish school and then, I don't know, see, you know, what happens. But every step along the way, there has been a solution to an issue that I have faced. Even if I haven't like recognized that, there's always been someone put in my life to help me at particular times. And as I'm older now, I see that more and more, you know, that everything is figure outable. There's a solution to everything. There's a solution to everything. My granddad, who died, he was 86 when he died. His phrase was, there's nothing in life that can't be figured out. There's no problem that can't be figured out other than death. So unless you're dead,
you can we can
find
out.
A solution to this.
Yeah.
We can figure it out.
Yeah.
So yeah, everything is figure outable.
I think that's a great note to end on there. So yeah. Thank you. I'll put that link to that in the show notes. I think we're in the same book club, aren't we? I think that's right, because I read that as part of the book.
Exactly.
Okay. So before I let you go, how can people find you? How can they work with you?
If you go to shesavip.com, that's the website where there's all the information about me, how to work with me. I have some free resources on there as well. I can give you the link straight to those if you want. There's some affirmations around building strength and acceptance. It's like a 31-day affirmations. There's a guide around how to live well despite your disability. There's a workbook and those kinds of things, which can be read with screen reader, and I'll be doing audio versions as well. So all of those are available there. Okay. Really, the website is the best place. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as well. I have a Facebook group. But if you go to the website, you'll be able to find everything.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining me, Bambi.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Well, I hope you got as many nuggets from that conversation as I did. You know, this business journey is as much about learning how much I don't know as it is about utilising what I do know. I will certainly be incorporating the practical systems that Bambi suggested into my business, like adapting my intake form, adding picture descriptions to social media content in addition to the Altips. But more than that, I will keep the conversation open and do everything I can to ensure that I work with my community in a way that best suits their needs. If you enjoyed today's episode and you think you know someone that it might help, I'd love for you to share it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. It really will help us get this message out to as many people as possible. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.